This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Today's psalm is a song of ascent, reminding us of our new resurrection life and the promise of joy, even in the midst of painful circumstances. Let us proclaim that the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad as we read responsively Psalm 126. When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like he had been dreaming. We had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at that time among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better, like dry streams in the desert waste. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain.
Today's gospel reading comes to us from John's gospel, the 12th chapter, the first 8 verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Have you ever heard the word Messiah?
No?
You have? Maybe have. So the word Messiah comes from a word, and sometimes it means anointed. What do you think anointed means? Have you ever heard of anointed? That's when you put either oil or special perfume or something on someone, a lotion. And in the time of Jesus, people would do that before someone, for a special reason, before maybe someone was going to become the king, they would put that on as a special reminder for everyone. They were anointed that they were there. Well, you heard the story about Mary and Martha today, and Jesus was coming to their house to eat again. Martha's been cooking a lot of food. She liked to cook a lot of food. That was one of her gifts that she did for people. She welcomed them in and she would make them food. And this time, what did Mary do? Did you hear that story? Did you listen to that part? She did something to Jesus' feet. Did you hear what that was? Do you remember? She had beautiful perfume. Have you ever smelled anyone's beautiful perfume? Yeah, a little bit goes a long way. I used to tell my boys that when they would be in the bathroom. A little bit goes a long way, but she had lots and lots and lots of it. And it was very important. And she used it all up on Jesus. Now, Jesus gave lots of gifts out. He was teaching with people. He was talking to people. He was making them feel good. He was healing people. He was giving gifts all the time. Did people give him lots of gifts? I don't remember hearing lots about that. Do you? You think it's no, probably? Yeah, maybe. But Mary just gave him this very important gift. And you know, Martha gave him a gift too. She made him dinner, didn't she? Yeah, she made him dinner. So one of the reasons why I like this story is it reminds me that we can give Jesus gifts. Jesus gives us all these gifts. God gives us all these gifts, but we can give those gifts back. And the gift that we can give is a gift that Mary gave in one of our stories from a long time ago. Do you know what that is? She listened to Jesus. Do you remember the story when she listened to Jesus? She sat at his feet and she listened to all of his words. And she was asking questions and she wanted to know more. That's one of the gifts that we can give to Jesus too. We can come to church and we can learn more about Jesus. We can learn about those stories and we can tell them to other people so that they can learn about those stories and tell them to other people too. That's a lot of gifts we're going to be giving out, isn't it? Yeah. So sometimes we think our gifts aren't very important and not very big, but the gift that we can give, are you waving to your brother? Yeah. The gift that we can give, you can give that gift to your brother. You listen to the stories now, and when you're reading stories at night, you can read him the stories and talk to him about God and about Jesus. That's the gift you can give to your brother. Yeah. You're starting already? That's so awesome. That is so awesome. So we have gifts that we can give, and I want you to remember that this is a special time for us to think about all those stories of Jesus so that we can make sure we can give those to people and that they can know the good news of Jesus. Let's take some time and let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We know that we sometimes forget about all of those gifts. And we especially forget that we can have those gifts to give back to you and to the people around us, to everyone that we meet. We ask that you would help us to share your love and your story each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We begin each season of Lent with the reminder, the words, from dust you were created, to dust you will return. And over the years, I've had many people come up to me and go, oh, Pastor, that's just so morbid. Why? Ugh, I don't like that. It doesn't feel good. Why is it? Why is it that so many struggle talking about their death? I mean, okay, granted, that's not something that, you know, everybody's excited. Hey, guess what? I'm going to die. Let me tell you. No, that's not the way that we want to talk, no. But yet, we also shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't be awkward about talking about our death. As we come closer to the end of this year's Lenten journey, as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection, we do need to revisit our mortality. We are, each one of us, going to die. We need to make the most of this life. And I do believe that when we live this life faithfully and fully, it makes entering into life beyond this life so much easier. Western culture likes to maintain a perception of being able to keep death at a distance. Death is a long ways off. Oh, we're extending our lifespans. We're doing more and more in technology and medicine to be able to provide a better quality of life for longer. Death and dying are seen as failings of our bodies, imperfections, flaws of modern technology. We say that people have lost their battle against cancer or other diseases. We say that there are survivors who have beat cancer. There's a realization of the harm that this is causing long term, and a need for a new way to view life and death, a way in which we can enter into the final stages of our life on this earth, whenever they are to come, with grace and gratitude. We need to live each day as if it's our last. And the best way for us to be able to accept the reality of death is to live life fully. So we gather together for worship and we hear the scriptures. We call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptic gospels because they're all very similar, likely based off of same basic story. But John's gospel is a little bit different. John 10:10 says, "I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so they could have life to the fullest." That is what we want, and that's the theological focus of John's gospel. To live life to the fullest means that we embrace the full story of Jesus as our Messiah. His presence at creation, his birth, in which he took on human form, his life and his teachings, his death on the cross, his resurrection 3 days later, and his anticipated return and the renewal of all of creation. Today's text brings us face to face with mortality, the stench of death, and yet the hope of the resurrection. It tells us how we are to live life to the fullest. Now, to live life to the fullest, it means more than just knowing and believing the gospel. It's more than that cognitive neck up affirmation. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe those are good creeds, good doctrines that we need to affirm. But this full life, it's more than just that. We can't stop there. It means that we have to embrace all that those doctrines and those creeds mean, and thereby how our lives have an impact on other lives and on the kingdom as a whole. This relates to the intentional change on how we say the Lord's Prayer here today for our final Sunday of Lent, in which we'll be saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives as in heaven." How is God's kingdom and God's will being done in our lives? John Calvin wrote that the highest honor in the church is not government, but service. So for all of those polity geeks and everything, sorry, my apologies, but hey, it's words of John Calvin, right? Similarly, John Calvin wrote that we shall never be fit for the service of God if we look not beyond this fleeting life. There is more than this life, and living this life for the life to come is what matters. John's gospel gives us a glimpse into that life beyond this world. As we look at the whole of John's gospel, we see things differently. Jesus' ministry begins in chapter 2 when John writes, "On the third day," intentionally he wrote that, "on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee." And yeah, we're probably all familiar. This is where Jesus turns water into wine. And the head waiter says, "Oh, what a waste. You brought out the finest wine after everybody's been drinking, And there's no way they can fully appreciate this amazing wine. What a waste. In the chapter just before this, in chapter 11, it spends the entire chapter talking about the death of Lazarus and how Jesus hears about it and says, he's just mostly dead. He's not fully dead. And he waits. And people are saying, Jesus, why don't you go? What's happening? And yet he raises Lazarus from the dead after he's been dead for 4 days. And we read in the verses that follow today's reading that word of this event of Lazarus being brought back to life spreads all over, and that many people desert the Jewish chief priest's teachings. And they say, no, we want to follow this Jesus guy. Forget the religious leaders of the day. This guy's doing something great. This event, recorded only in John's gospel, happens just before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, emphasizing, connecting Jesus' power over death, foreshadowing his own death and resurrection. Live life to its fullest. To live life to the fullest means more than just knowledge. In today's story, we see life being lived out to the fullest in many ways. The story of Mary's anointing, it stands in contrast to many of the ideas of Christians today. That what matters most is belief in Jesus. If that were the case, then John would have told us, this is what Mary believed. But Mary's action, it's different. It's even different than what most people believed should be done. Some would say it was scandalous for a woman to be using her hair to dry off his feet. It's a little bit too sensual. That's beyond that PG rating. And some would say, oh, what a waste. Some would say, that's holy anointing. That's right out of the Old Testament. I doubt that Mary had a full understanding of all that was about to happen to Jesus and the ways in which her actions would impact not only those in the room, but even us in present day and people for all time to come. She was preparing for Jesus' death, whether she knew it or not. It's a mystery beyond human understanding of the multitude of ways in which her faithful actions resonate deeply with what we know of Jesus' kingdom. We could spend hours making all sorts of different connections. And then there's Martha. We don't know too much about Martha from this story alone, but when we read alongside the other stories of Martha, we know that she was passionate about hosting and serving Jesus. She also complained, Jesus, would you tell Mary? She's supposed to be helping me out here. She's just sitting there at your feet. And Jesus says, no, she's chosen the one thing that is right. Mary and Martha, they're different. Lazarus, they were all siblings, and yet they're all different. Each had a different way in which they were called to serve Jesus and to serve others. They each had different purposes in life. And Jesus encourages that. He doesn't say, oh, you should all be cookie cutters and all be just alike. No. Each of us are created with unique gifts and passions. We're all to be joining together in harmony to further the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How are you living that out? How would you like to live that out? How should we, as a household of ministry, how should we be living out the varied giftedness that we have to be the body of Christ? We also see in this story that there are those who claim to have generous attitudes towards helping others. Oh, they just look so amazing. I mean, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, he condemned Mary's waste of this expensive perfume. I mean, this was a year's wages. If you saw somebody take a year's wage and just toss it to the wind, you'd probably be a little frustrated. Judas says, this could have been given to the poor. Now, personally, I think that was kind of an afterthought after he gasped at this and condemned her to try to save face and make himself look a little better, because we're told here that his motives were not about providing for the poor. He saw a year's wages that could have gone into the treasury bag of the disciples, which he held on to and he dipped into fairly regularly. We all know a Judas or two in our lives, and if we're really, really honest, at least in some small way, each one of us, we've at least had those Judas-like moments in our own life at some point or another. Sometimes what seems like a waste to one person is actually a holy anointing for a needed ministry. Maybe a needed ministry that we don't know about yet. It's easy for us to critique, to look back in hindsight. It's easy for us to look at other people. And yet Jesus says, no. Take that log out of your own eye before you look at the speck in the other's. As we begin this final journey of Lent, as we prepare for Holy Week, next Sunday, it's going to be Palm Sunday. We remember when Christ came into town with shouts of Hosanna. And yet a few days later, that same crowd condemned Jesus to death, shouting, "Crucify him." And the world went black. And then the earth shook, and Jesus was alive. And he appeared to the disciples, to others, and is alive today. We see an example of how Jesus lived his life to the fullest, preparing for his death. Everything he did was in preparation for his death on the cross. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew he was about to be handed over, he said, "Father, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." He knew he needed to endure the pain of the cross. What is our purpose in life? What is our ultimate goal? How do we live each day of our life to the fullest, so that we leave a legacy that furthers God's kingdom? As we prepare for the events of Holy Week, may we allow the Spirit to speak to us of how we are to be living our lives, how we are to be preparing for our own death, as we prepare for Jesus' death, of how we are to live our life on earth to the fullest, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven in all that we do and providing hope for a world that needs this message, that there is more than this world. May we prepare for Jesus' death, knowing that as we join with Jesus in his death, we also will join with Jesus in his resurrection. And and we are able to live a full life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.